You're listening to the Matt and Pat Show.
I'm Pat. He's Matt. And together, we're the Matt and Pat Show.
Welcome to the Matt and Pat Show.
Hello.
Pat's all soft. Hello.
Hello.
So today we are...
We're in my room.
We're at the lovely residence of the Malloy.
The Ogre Cave, or the Troll Hole,
whatever
as
call
I
it.
Affectionately call it.
And we're doing a transfer of data right now for your new computer.
Which is an iMac.
Very awesome.
27-inch screeny screen.
And you've got...
With lots of RAM.
And your external IC dock.
My IC dock, which is a cool external drive, hot swappable.
Enclosure.
And I could put four total.
Yeah, four total drives in there.
Two in there right now. Yep. One of which is my...
Main hard drive.
Main hard drive, and the other is my...
Backup.
Backup thing that's called...
Time Machine.
Time Machine.
Your Time Machine backup
which
drive.
Has saved me several... Well, more than several times, and I never even needed to call you for help.
That's right. That's right.
So I love Time Machine.
Yep.
Because I always mess up my Mac. At least once every 4 months, you can count that I will do something to mess up my Mac somehow, some way. And so fortunately, thank God for Time Machine.
Thank God for Time Machine.
And I'm probably going to spill my green tea somewhere. And that's a caller.
We have someone calling
in. There's someone that's calling us.
Calling into the Matt.
They are.
You got us. Speak.
Yeah. Your dime.
Your dime.
Oh my gosh, dude.
So it's 3 hours to go in the transfer, so we figure...
We'll have a 3-hour show.
Yeah, exactly.
We can do it. I can teach a 3-hour class and speak nonstop for 3 hours.
We're trying to gain people, not throw them them go away.
It has to be on theology or philosophy. Or just get me on a rant.
So we figured
I'll rant for 3 hours.
So we figured that while we're waiting for this to happen, we might as well
do a show.
Do a show, record on the Tascam and see
if
how it works.
If anybody wants to buy my Mac Pro.
What year is that? 2008? 2008.
It has 16 gigs. There's no hard drives. Obviously, I took the hard drives out, so you have to provide your own hard drives.
Sorry, Frank.
Yeah. But I'll sell it for $600. Comes with a monitor. And I'll throw in those speaker things right there.
No one wants those.
Those were great.
Back in the day.
Back in the day. I'm going to have to get new speaker things.
Oh, my God.
So yeah, $600.
$600
clams.
So this past weekend, we went to the Renaissance Fair.
That was a blast.
That was cool. And it was so fun. I went back the next day again.
You did.
I took my wife and kid back the next day. It was a lot of fun. And
was it what you expected?
No, not at all.
What did you... Okay, I'm curious because I went to a Ren Fair, as I mentioned before, in St. Louis, where they had a tornado warning, which was really scary. So I can totally understand just the horribleness of what the poor people in Oklahoma just experienced.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
That is insane.
I've been praying for... Everybody there.
And they brought the countdown. I think they were up as high as like 91 or something, and it's now 20-something.
Well, 20 too many, but...
No,
but better than 90.
Right, right.
Or whatever.
And we had... I checked in with...
I drove through Oklahoma City. It was really surreal because we passed by the building that was bombed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the Oklahoma City bombing.
I mean, that was so... When I was on doing my little tour thing.
Yeah.
And that was really surreal.
Yeah.
It was also surreal driving past the grassy knoll at Dallas, Texas, where Kennedy was popped.
Yeah.
That was really
weird.
That
must have been weird, yeah.
That was really strange.
Well, it's strange as it was for me.
The show is really weird.
Strange for me is Ren Fair. No, going back to your question about what I expected, I was pretty... I didn't know anything about it other than, people were dressing up in Renaissance era costumes and outfits. But when we got there and I realized, this is a really...
$10 parking.
Yeah, yeah.
They made bank.
Yeah, they made some good money there. But no, what I realized is, okay, this is a big outdoor... It basically, I would equate it to the same thing as the county fair.
Yes.
Right?
Like a medieval, a
Renaissance fair. Medieval county fair where you go and
drink mead.
You can drink your drinks or whatever of the whatever you want. There's tons and tons and tons of people selling stuff.
Oh, they're selling awesome handmade wares.
Well, that's where it stops. Yeah, and that's kind of where it stops. It's like, you know, I remember going to the county fair as a kid, and I've taken my daughter and my wife back a couple times in the last few years. And you go, and it's like you got some people
to the
county fair, and you got people that are making some things, or you got people that are selling, you know, fishing rods, or they're trying to sell you a mop that'll clean your floor with no effort, or whatever, like that.
I shouldn't have to.
But this was different because going in, okay, yes, it's Renaissance based, so the first thing that hits your eye is all the amazing outfits, and coming from the standpoint of, you know, being a 501st Legion member.
I've built my own stuff as well.
I 100% respect these people right away because, you know, okay, you guys, like us, are doing the real deal.
Even just walking in the parking lot and we saw the three trucks that had pirate masks.
The pirate masks in the back of the truck. That was so awesome. That was so awesome.
What do they call a group of pirates? A gang of pirates?
Horde?
I don't know.
There's probably terminology for it.
I'll have to look that one up.
I don't know. I'll just say a gang of pirates.
Yeah.
And all men and women.
Yes.
Full on dressed.
Yes.
And pirate.
Uh-huh.
I would dare say historically accurate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and that's why I said is looking at these people, I go, all right, cool. I feel like I'm in company.
You feel at home.
I feel at home already because I know, you know, these guys are making some awesome stuff. So we took Mark.
Our buddy Mark.
Mark went with us, Mark Edwards.
He was taking our photos.
He took some awesome photos of us.
He took really cool
photos. And then we toured around for a while. We looked, this and that. There was some
walking in, there is a gentleman, and Mark took a picture of him. I guess he took a couple pictures of him, building a little model ship.
Yeah, the ship, and he's hand doing it.
I mean, I just stood there for quite a while just watching them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing is that, like I said, it's, you know, it's the same sort of thing. It's kind of like if you walked into a 501st Star Wars con, right, and you saw people sitting there hand building their blasters or
lightsaber.
Their armor or whatever,
right?
Yeah, same sort of thing. So to see all the handmade wares, not just costumes, but, you know, lamps and mugs and, you know, hats and all this different kind of stuff. It was overwhelming.
Everything that they had. I mean, there is one stall where they had stained glass.
Yes. Uh-huh.
There's another stall with this one particular artist. And I was talking to the lady who was selling the different etchings and drawings and paintings. He never went to art school.
Mm-hmm.
Just on his own.
Just growing up and all on his own.
And just, incredible art.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so then you walk down a little bit more, and then you have more stuff. Oh, now they get some games you can do, you can do this or that. We threw knives.
You made your mark.
I actually made one.
I hit it like four times. I hit
the target
four times.
Yeah, it was tunk.
Right?
Tunk,
so,
right.
But it never went in.
I've always been very good at that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And what I noticed right away when I was throwing them was I threw a couple and I held them, you know, on the end.
Right.
So you get the spinning effect, right?
Right.
And they were going really high. Now, I was looking at, it's kind of, you know, where your eyes are,
right.
That's where it's going to go.
Correct.
So I was looking at the bullseye and they were going high. So then I said, okay, I'm going to look at the bottom, the circle. I looked at the bottom.
And then that's when you drilled it.
And that's when I nailed it, right?
You're good at nailing it.
So that was a lot of fun. And then you go on some more, and then they got the big
thing. They had axes, they had knives,
well,
they had spears.
All these awesome people.
What else
and
did
then,
they have? They had, I'm trying to think of what other little weapons you could.
Oh, it's swords and everything.
Fencing.
And yeah, and then the fencing guy and stuff. And then you got the food court, and you got the stage shows, and then you got
the rides.
They
had the pub crawl. Where you would, or the mead crawl, or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, yeah, where it's been, it's
where
like,
you pay
a certain amount of money, and then you follow the guy in the cart,
yes.
And you just drink all day, I guess, or whatever. So I was like, wow, that's really cool, you don't see that anywhere else. And then, you know, they got the petting zoo for the kids, the pony rides, the camel rides, and they got the arena thing in the back, and then they've got, in the far back, we walked through and talked to some people, they got their old tent set up. You know,
as like a little historical reenactment. Area. Similar to the Civil War.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Little encampments.
It was huge. I mean, it was so huge. It was just, wow. I mean, you know, when
I mean, unfortunately, it's not on anymore. But when it comes back,
next year,
I will go more than once.
Oh, well, that was a thing. Right. So we went. You, Mark, and I went. And then
now it says 6 hours.
Yeah.
The show's going to be 6 hours and 15 minutes.
And by the time we're done, it'll be done. We stopped by and we said, hey, we'll do an interview with the fencing guy.
Yes.
And I think it was his wife.
I think it was his wife.
Barbara was his wife. So we had a conversation with Barbara. And
she made her dress.
Yeah.
All handmade.
Well,
this is awesome.
Let's listen to Barbara's interview real quick. All right. We're here at the Ren Fair. And we're speaking with a lovely lady.
We are here at the St. Jude School of Fencing. And it definitely caught our eye. There were quite a few different individuals that were fencing. And it looks as if there are some children that are partaking in the art of fencing. And I wanted to do just a quick little interview. And we found someone that would say yes, who's wearing a magnificent outfit.
Indeed.
So tell us about yourself.
I'm Barbara. I'm here with my husband who fences. I don't fence. I just stand here at the rail yelling obscene things at people.
What has been the most obscene thing that you've shouted out so far today?
Today I asked a gentleman why he was standing there waving his shaft at people.
Did he respond?
Yes.
At all? Oh, he did.
Yes. Well, he explained that he was very, very proud of his 36 inches.
Now, in terms of the overall, what is the best shaft in terms of the foil?
Steel.
There you go. That works.
Your shaft must be steely.
This is perfect.
I love the Ren Fair.
Yes, yes.
Now, how many years have you been here?
I've only been here for, I think this is my third season.
Wow.
My husband used to do it long ago before we were married, back in the old days of Agoura.
Uh-huh.
And, he loved it. And we came to visit a couple of years ago. We came across the fencing booth and he was excited about joining back in. And boom, he was back.
Wow, that's cool. So now you do it together.
Yes.
That's
one
awesome.
Of these days I'm going to actually let him teach me to fence.
So you don't know, you haven't had any lessons per se?
Not per se, no. I know the general idea of it, but it's about it.
Stab the other guy.
Yeah. Stab him and try not to get
run
stabbed.
Run him through.
Run him through.
There
you
go.
Now, in terms of your costume, your outfit, can you tell us about it for the listeners?
Well, I finished making it yesterday.
So it's handmade.
Yes, it is handmade.
That's beautiful.
It's basically like a corset. There's steel boning inside because you want to tie it together and push them up and out because that's how you wear it.
That's how you wear it.
Is it comfortable?
I kind of enjoy it, but I like girly stuff. So.
Now, is this one of like the first dresses that you created for yourself, or have you made others?
No, I used to make weddings, wedding parties, bridals.
Oh, wow.
So I've been sewing for a lot of years.
Got it. Wow,
and
that's
what's
cool.
The trick? What's the trick to making a beautiful dress, if there's such a thing as a trick?
It's the construction on the inside.
Yeah.
You have to make the outside, you could do whatever you want, but the inside has to be constructed properly to make it work, because you don't hold all of this in poor construction.
How long would it take to actually make one?
This was a few days.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very impressive.
Wow. Well, thank you.
That's very impressive.
Thank you.
Wow.
It is. I mean, just
no,
in terms
of... Are we talking about the dress, or...?
No, well, yes. In terms of the atmosphere, what do you find about the atmosphere of the Ren Fair that's so intriguing and so much fun?
Well, as you can probably tell, it's very bawdy at times, and it's a lot of fun to just cut loose. You have a lot of friends. You can say some obnoxious things that you wouldn't have normally said.
And it's in character.
And it's in character.
Yes.
And all good fun.
You get to be someone else and have fun about it.
And so what would you, if, for someone that's never been to a Ren Fair, how would you describe it?
A drunken free-for-all?
I think that fits. Yes, I think that fits perfectly.
And I think that's the interview.
Well, thank you, Barbara, for talking with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, so Barbara was super awesome. And, you know, it was funny because we were asking her questions about, you know, like what you, like typical questions that we'd ask anyone about their something or another. And she was just very chill and laid back.
She started off very apprehensive, very shy.
Yes, yes.
But then she really got into it.
She got into it, and so then after,
she's passionate about what she does.
So then after the interview,
like us.
After the interview, I look over my shoulder, and there's a security guard standing there.
I noticed him while we were doing the interview.
And you know, he was very nice and very polite, and he just asked what we were doing. We said, well, we're recording for the show, and as it turns out, and we didn't know this being our first time, the Ren Fair, in its 51st year this year, has a full-on PR department, a full media department.
We didn't know that.
They do the whole press pass thing.
I failed to do due diligence.
You didn't do your research.
No, I didn't. I was just like, let's just go to the Ren Fair.
Let's just go to Ren Fair.
And you could drink mead, and I'll drive, and I'll just have to watch out for concrete.
Yes. So so then he let us know about that, and he very nice. I mean, it was just so nice. And he said, you know, would you like to talk to the person in charge of PR? And we said yes, and went over and brought the woman over, and she just informed us, you know, hey, you know we do interviews and press stuff like the first week or so of Ren Fair, and after that we don't allow it. But she was very nice to us. She said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and let you do like an hour, because we know that you guys are here to have fun and promote the fair and everything like that. So that was cool. So we did one other interview at the same place, at the fencing place, with
the husband,
the owner, and
he was a master fencer.
Oh, fantastic, nice guy. So let's take a listen to that.
And we are still here at St. Jude School of Fencing, and we were having some really good stories off tape, and so. We ran into another gentleman and wanted to speak with him. And so your name, please?
I'm Michael Shanahan.
And tell us how you got involved with the Ren Fair.
I've owned the booth since 1989. I used to work at the Agora Fair. And when it moved to San Bernardino, I became the owner.
And what brought you into fencing? Were you always a fencer?
I've been fencing a very long time. I fenced in college. I fenced in clubs. I've been fencing now for over 30 years.
Wow.
Well, I know there's a fencing club sort of by me in Culver City. It's
West Side Fencing?
Yes, correct.
It's gone. It left about
Is
three.
It?
It's in the Helm, was in the Helms Bread Building. Yeah, the owner closed that several years ago.
Okay, so
but there's a few small ones, but that was the well-known one.
In the local area?
That was the one that everyone knows about in Culver City, but there's three or four in Culver City and West Los Angeles.
Very small.
I want to get back in. I took fencing for a semester at the university, and I loved it.
Which university?
Loyola Marymount University. They had a fencing instructor, and I can't recall his name now. It's been years.
Ezra Okawa?
No. He was a white guy.
Okay.
And I can't remember his name.
Okay.
It escapes me, but it was so much fun. And so, well, I mean, so of course I see everybody fencing. Tell us some of the aspects of what makes a good fencer.
Helps to be fast on your feet, good balance, good hand-eye coordination, and it's a cardiac sport. You have to be in fairly good shape to do it for a long time. You probably remember that part.
Oh, yes.
It's a lot of work.
Oh, it was. And it was also... There's a lot of thought to it as well. You actually really had to think about your opponent.
It's kind of like a chess game, isn't it?
It's very much so.
You got to think ahead and yeah.
What was one of the longest matches that you've ever had? Can you think back to
30 minutes?
Really?
Yeah.
I would be dead.
Did you win? Were you the victor?
I was. It was when I was competing on a Southern California fencing team. There you have the rules were you have to win by one. And we normally went to five, but it went 5-6, 6-6, 6-7, 7-7, 8-7. Neither one of us could get that extra point.
Wow.
So I have to win by two is what I meant to say.
Wow.
So we went like 30 minutes.
So the way the scoring works is if you're tied, say, 5-5, and someone scores
a
point,
by two.
Then does their point go up or your come down? Or?
No, you. When I started fencing, actually, it was a they've changed all the rules in fencing for scoring to be computer happy. But in the nowadays that you, it's the number of touches you give to others. So you, the high score is good.
Got it.
When I started fencing, the low score was good.
Okay. You know, okay.
But
that
it
makes
didn't
sense.
Work well with computers.
Yeah. Right.
Scoring. So
negative numbers.
They changed that. Yeah. And basically, you come in and you give a 20-minute lesson. We give you the equipment, and then we let you fence your friends or one of us. And, doing it now is what my 24th year of owning the booth. I just love it. It's great.
Do you,
fun.
Do you have your own school right now as well?
No.
This
is my school. This is my club. There are people here from all over Southern California. There's the Bay Area, San Diego, Bellflower,
wow.
Mission Viejo, Redlands, San Jose, and they just come down here for the weekend. And it's
where would a listener be able to find more information about fencing?
USFencing.org. And you put in your zip code, and it'll tell you where all the fencing schools in America are.
And do you have a web page for your Ren Fair St. Jude?
We have a Facebook page, but it's a closed page.
Okay.
It's not viewer friendly. It's mostly our blooper reel.
Yes.
And we keep that to ourselves.
Wow. Who got jabbed in that? Never mind.
We had our first accident 2 years ago that's on the video on it. It was actually videotape where two large drunks came in.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, boy.
And,
getting the mead.
Oh, they were having a wonderful... It's on videotape. I have the tape. And they managed to break a blade, and one guy was using it like a dagger. And this is very safe. When it hits you, it bends. When it breaks here, it doesn't bend anymore.
Right.
And he stabbed a guy right through his arm, and it came out the other side.
Oh, my Lord.
And he pulled it out, and it just kept right on going. And there was blood.
Oh, my goodness.
He's like, oh, I think it went through me. And we're like, no, that couldn't happen. And then we rewind it. You know, he shows the videotape 15 minutes later, like...
Yep.
Went through his arm.
Wait,
so
wow.
I was sued for that.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
And, the good news is he got nothing. Nothing
good.
At all.
Good for him.
One of the questions the judge asked was, had you been drinking? And he said, sir, I'd only consumed 3 beers that day. And it was 10:45. The fair had been open for 45 minutes, and he's popping the... 32 ounces of beer at minimum.
Within 45 minutes.
Wow. Wow. That'll do it.
So the judge threw it out. Cool. And he got nothing.
Now, okay, you have two foils.
Yes.
Now, obviously you have your own at home, right? Your own equipment, your own foil.
Sure.
How much does a foil run? How much does it cost?
Anywhere you can get in. You can get all the equipment you need to start fencing for under $100.
Wow.
It'll be cheap Chinese stuff, but...
But it gets you started.
It'll get you started. It's safe.
Right.
And it'll fall apart in a few years, and you'll get a nice one. But you can do the first couple years of fencing for $100. There's package deals where you get a jacket, a mask, and a foil for like $100.
Wow.
I'm going to get back into it.
And it's the low end.
Yeah.
It's definitely the low end. So
yeah. What would be the high end?
A good mask is $300. A decent mask is $150 for the mask, and it's like anything else. You can buy cheap if you want cheap, and if you go to a club, most clubs provide equipment. So you go to, and I'll put in a plug for South Coast Fencing.
Yeah,
yes, please
do. Please
do.
And that's in Santa Ana. The owner works here, and it's a real good place. They have very good instruction, and it's cheap, and they provide the equipment for beginners. So you'll start out, it'll cost you about $40 a month.
Wow, that's not bad at all.
Club instruction and the equipment use and the floor fee.
And where was, and obviously there's a few down my way towards LAX, Culver City area.
Yes.
So I'll have to find those.
Yeah, usfencing.org.
Okay.
Put in your zip code. No, I know there's two in West Los Angeles. There's a couple in Burbank. There's a few in the Valley. And they tend to be like YMCA type
yes.
mm-hmm. fencing schools. You know, mm-hmm. they meet twice a night at the Y.
Right.
But there's a South Coast Fencing is a very good one. Fortune Fencing is nearby here. It's down in Pasadena. And that's a permanent professional group.
Wow.
Fencing's not real popular in America.
I want to do it.
We have to bring it back.
I'm going to bring it back.
We have to bring it back. Well, thank you for talking with us.
I appreciate it greatly.
Thank you so much.
I am certainly going to get back into fencing.
Yeah, he was really nice, and he gave us a lot of good info. So,
because I did in at LMU?
Yeah.
At the university?
Yeah.
It was so much fun. One of the very last...
You just like poking people, huh?
Well, I was good at that.
You're good at poking people with a long stick, people. Huh?
I'm not good at taking out hard drives from a Mac. I can't get my, I don't know, fat fingers to get the drive out.
I was like, pull that out, Pat. It's like, okay, just give it to me.
I'm just good at putting it in, not pulling it out. So
anyways,
we did this.
Back
so
to fencing.
So we had this exercise. It was basically like our final, I guess, for the fencing club, where... There were six people total in the class.
Did we talk about this in the interview with the owner?
No.
Okay.
No, this is another old story.
I'd just say we're repeating ourselves here.
Well, I don't know. I didn't talk about this. So there's it was basically, you know, everybody versus everybody.
Okay.
And it was just one big free for all fencing thing. It was so much fun
because you could just poke whoever you wanted to.
Well, what were the rules? I think you had to get like.
Was it like
two or three hits?
Was it the classic
each.
Setup where it's just everyone's just whatever?
Yeah, it's all just
oh god,
everybody go
ow,
at it, right?
Ow,
so
ow,
of course
ow,
everyone
ow.
Is all like, what? I mean, it was like who's you know
demolition
who's
derby
make the first move, right?
Demolition derby.
It was
right.
like it was like a big giant Mexican standoff, right? That's what it was. It's like who's gonna start, right? Because then they're gonna be open and someone's gonna
it's the Alamo who's
and,
gonna fire first,
and
huh?
You know who won?
Wasn't you?
It was me.
You won?
I won.
High five.
I poked everybody. I'm a master poker with a foil in my hand.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I did. I won.
Now, was your strategy just to stand back and let everyone else die first?
No. I just
went just for it.
I was like,
well,
kill or be killed.
I can just imagine you in the class with everyone else, this big behemoth comes and...
Well, I was a little bit lighter. So that helped. I mean, I actually, because that's one of the things you really learn footwork.
I can just imagine, though, you just didn't go like this.
No.
You actually
it
were
was
like,
very, it was
I'm
going
to go for you, then I'm going to go for you.
It was
and
very
then,
methodically
wow.
done.
Wow.
As opposed to just, you know, a bowl in a
right
china shop.
Right, right.
Right? As the saying goes.
Yes.
No, it was really fun.
Yeah, so that was really fun to talk to Barbara and the owner of their fencing place, and he's been doing this for 30-something years, you know? I mean, that's amazing. That's awesome. So so after that, then we put
the Then we went and had mead.
We put the
you
stuff away,
mead.
And then, yep, I got
it. It's time for mead.
Now, what's interesting about mead was, to me, like I said, it tastes like basically like a sweet wine. And the first one I had was really good. The second one we got a different place was about the same. But then the Sunday, which was the last day of the fair, when I took my wife and my kid back, you know, I told my wife, hey, you got to have this amazing, you know, yeah, mead is awesome. You got to have some of this. So, got her some.
And she didn't like it?
No, it tasted different.
Really?
I didn't know what it was about. It didn't
And you had one that you both had at the same time?
Yeah, it was the same. I just bought one and we just shared it. And it didn't exactly taste the same. So I don't know if there's a different kind.
Well, if maybe they were, if you will, homebrewed.
I don't know.
So if they're home brewed,
I don't know.
Maybe
different brew, different place.
You know,
could be. But it was all right. So so the kid had so much fun. Oh my god! So the first thing was went right to the petting zoo, did the petting zoo, and left her in there for like half an hour.
Wow.
I mean, you know, what are we gonna do?
What were some of the animals that she?
You know, I just saw sheep and goats, and there was a pig in there, but I don't think they were doing the pig.
Pigs are highly intelligent.
Oh yeah,
they're smarter than dogs.
And so yeah,
smarter than some people.
She did that for like half an hour, and then right next to the petting zoo was like the pony rides. So they weren't sure.
I want to ride a pony.
And they weren't sure if they would, if she could go because of her height. Because
she's too tall now?
Might be too tall.
Really?
So so they actually had.
they could just lay me down on it.
They had two smaller ponies, and then they had one larger one. And they said, yeah, we think we can probably go to the larger one. So they end up okayed. They okayed that. And she went around on the pony, and that was a lot of fun. And then we went back, and she did.
Did you do the camel?
She did the camel ride. Wow. And I said, which one did you like the most? She's like, the camel. I said, why do you like the camel most? And she said, because it's really bumpy. Because, you know, the way the hump is, and, you know, you just.
Of course, I'm thinking of Lawrence of Olivier.
I'm thinking of Conan.
Of Lawrence of Arabia.
He punched the camel in the movie, in the second movie.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Don't, if you want to use, wait, what was it? Don't use that. What's it? What's that saying? If you want to use a weapon, don't use a toothpick. Something like that, says to Grace Jones.
Yes, yes. In Conan the Destroyer. Yeah, that was the second one, I think. Second or third one? I don't remember. But so I did a camel ride, and she had fun with that. And, so this is awesome. So go back Sunday, and I decide I'm going to do a pirate outfit. I'm going to do a full-on pirate outfit. Because just like...
I'm not surprised.
With my 501st stuff, I'm going to do it full-on. So we go into a pirate shop, and I go in there, and I basically told the lady, I said, well, I said, I'm starting a pirate. And so I need, like, a belt, right? Let's start with the belt. It's a belt and a gun. So I bought the belt, and the belt has the thing, the RA...
The holster?
Well, it has the hooks.
Oh, for the sword.
For the
For your sword.
For the cutlass's sheath, right? Hold it in there. And so I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. I said, want to get a gun. So I bought a replica gun. It's this intricate, handmade thing. It's amazing looking. Looks really, really cool. And my wife was like, yeah, that's the one. So then I bought a hat, because I asked my wife, I said, which hat do you like me the best? She's like, oh, that one. Well, it turns out...
Was that the one that you liked?
Yes, I liked it, but then I started, you know, I bought the damn thing. And so she's like, well, you got to wear... So I'm wearing a hat, yeah. And I'm wearing a belt, yes. And it's got pirates on it, and I've got the gun or whatever. And I see people, like, looking weird at me or whatever. And so then...
Why are they looking weird at you? Well, right there.
Let me finish.
Okay.
So then we go to the food court. She's like, I want to eat. So we got some food, and she got the big turkey leg, which is not like the Disneyland turkey leg.
Oh, that's like the picture where she didn't look very happy.
No, she was happy. She was eating. But the thing is, you know, that turkey leg, that's a real turkey leg. I mean, that thing's ginormous. You know, the turkey legs you buy at Disneyland, they're like chicken bones, right? I mean, this is... So she's just eating her turkey leg. And,
nom, nom, nom.
And so then I finished my food before she did. And I say, you know what? And I look on the hat, and it's got a label on it, like where it's made. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I just want to look up their website. So I look up their website, and I see that the hat that she had me buy was a hat for a Navy admiral. Right? It's like an admiral's hat. And it's got, like, you know, it's got, like, the gold thing on it. I'm like, it's not a pirate hat.
So it's an admiral hat.
It's an admiral hat. So then I said, okay, I'll put it on her head, right? And that's why I took, oh, it looked great. I took another picture and I sent it to you. And so I said, okay, you keep the admiral's hat. I said, I'll buy my pirate hat when I get home. So the only other thing I bought at the Ren for that day, because I just wasn't sure exactly what I needed. After the hat thing, I really wanted to make sure, okay, I got everything right. But we walked by one vendor that was near the back in that clothing area, mm-hmm. where they had all those dresses and everything.
Well, I remember there's one vendor, and he just sold shirts.
That's where I went.
Ah, okay. I know exactly where you are.
Yeah, yeah. So he had some Buccaneer shirts, and he had the pirate shirts with the elastic, mm-hmm. around the thing, mm-hmm. and I bought one of those. So I bought one of those, and that basically started my pirate
that
costume.
That is cool.
So I'll get other things over time and you know, go from there. But, yeah, I was like, man, I can have so much fun with a pirate.
I need to get my earring back in my ear.
Yeah, there you go. Yo-ho, yo-ho.
That's how I'm going to start.
Start your pirate. So, yeah, so, you know, overall, my wife loved Ren Fair. And now, you have to understand, for the people that are listening, for listeners out there, my wife doesn't dress up. My wife doesn't dress up at Halloween either.
Or at home.
She's not a cosplayer. She doesn't like dress up or anything like that. So to see her have that kind of fun at Ren Fair, and she like had the hat on.
So you're thinking that she may go for a pirate outfit?
Well, yes, because mm-hmm. I found a website called DressLikeAPirate.com, and she saw some stuff on there that she liked. So I was like, oh, that might be the one you want to go for. So I'm thinking next year Ren Fair. I can go with her, and she can dress up.
The one thing I noticed like that was cool, it was just ordinary, everyday people.
Yes. Uh-huh.
They weren't, I won't say necessarily athletic. I mean, all different type of body builds.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no.
And all different type of outfits.
You could. I mean, and that is another thing that I think...
Makes you feel more comfortable.
That made her feel more comfortable.
Because you can dress in a really cool, super groovy outfit.
Well, because as much as we love going to cons, the only girls that you're going to see at cons...
Are the Princess Leias. Are the Jedi.
Are the really skinny girls. Yeah. You know? So, you go to the Ren Faire, and you've got women of all shapes and sizes.
One thing we haven't talked about...
Yes?
The corsets.
The corsets? Wow.
Okay. I say, bring back the corsets.
I sent
an email to my friend Bunny.
Yeah.
About... Well, I sent a couple different emails about the corsets to...
send me pictures of you in corsets.
Friends, right? And I mentioned... You know, I'm just mentioning Bunny in particular. And she hasn't emailed me back. I think I offended her because I was like, you should wear a corset.
Oh, boy.
And I'm probably in trouble now. Because I was like, it would look really good on you.
You're just being honest.
It would look really... I mean, there are a lot of people that I know...
Well, I said that to my wife.
That would
like,
look really
And it was funny because she...
I would look... Can you imagine me here?
She had one.
The corset?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got the boobs for it.
I got the boobs for it.
I got the man boobs. Woo. Yep. So, yeah. So, no, it was... there was a lady that was at the front. And, you know, she's a very, very nice lady.
Oh, the one that we met that...
Yes. Yeah.
And we didn't... Oh, she was in the Wench show.
Yes, and so I saw
a bunch of different shows.
I saw her on Sunday, and she was it was the stage that was right next to that big open kind of area. It was right there, and she was doing like sign language.
Yes.
And it was awesome. It was just because you have someone on the stage and they're doing a certain routine
and she's just poking fun.
Well, yeah, right? That was the thing, and she was following along with it perfectly. So so it was really good to see her, and I took a picture of her real quick. And I sent that to you. I'm like, hey, I found her. So that was really cool to see her doing her show.
Everybody was so nice.
Everybody was so nice.
So cool. The lady selling flowers.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just everybody we came across.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Elf girl.
Elf girl. Banana girl.
Banana girl.
Right, was selling the frozen bananas, the chocolate bananas. Yeah. Yeah. No, it was an experience that I for my first Ren Faire...
I want a banana.
Yeah. For my first Ren Faire, it left such a great impression with me. I'm like, I said, hey, I'm doing a pirate costume because I'm coming back next year.
I gotta finish
dressed like a pirate.
My 501st Imperial whatever bridge guy.
Yeah, well, we gotta find your hat now.
Oh, so whatever happened with the hat? Did they sell their hat?
No. The two Legion members that were selling their hats, they're both mediums.
Oh.
They weren't larges.
I needed large for my fat.
So, yeah, so, their heads. So Gabriel thought they were larges. They're not. They're mediums. So I said, okay. You can't
we'll,
get those.
We'll get one.
So I think we just have to go to the forums, IOC forums, and find someone that makes the hats. Like, I did mine.
Right.
And go that route. So, it'll happen. It'll happen.
That'll be fun.
It'll happen.
That would be fun being a pirate as well.
Yeah. So, I was like, that'll be a fun one. So, yeah. I'll have to show you the website. Once you're 11 hours here. To copy.
And 38
minutes. Like I said, it cycles. Usually the average time to do this kind of transfer is about 3 hours. So.
It's 11. Well, they're probably going to announce a new iMac next month.
Well, yeah.
And then I'll be all, what?
Yeah.
What?
Well,
I just bought one.
If it's worth a month, you can, yeah. And then we'll do this all over again. Next month's show.
Oh, my goodness.
Next month's show. So, you know, next week, Pat. Is our 1 year anniversary show.
Has it already been a year?
May 30th. Can you believe that?
Wow.
So next week's going to be...
It's been a year.
Next week's going to be an interesting show. We're going to have to talk about what
Let's get drunk.
We're going to have to just talk about what we've learned over the last year doing
a
radio show.
That. We can do that.
Of course.
Because we can do whatever we want.
Yeah, well, we don't want to get drunk on the show.
I think we should just plaster.
Drink your mead. So, yeah, can you believe that? It's going to be 1 year. And what else do we got coming up? We've got June 1st, we're going to be at, that's coming up like a week and a half, that's 2 weeks.
Well, let's see, do I have on here?
No, June 1st is we're going to do in the Comic Jungle at the LA Zoo.
Oh, that's right.
And 501st, that's a 501st event, believe
really?
It or not. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I said, holy smokes. So,
wow.
So we got that coming up. June 16th, we're going to Fort Tejon for the Civil War reenactment.
Yes.
And we better find out about press passes for that. Because we can't take anything.
There's so much to do. So fluffy.
I mean, we can't take anything for granted now.
No.
You know, so...
due diligence.
So we'll have to find out. We'll have to email them back and see if there is... I mean, there may be. We didn't think it was for Renfair, yeah. And it was. Just, we're like, holy smokes, really, there is. Okay, so any place we plan to go, maybe even the jungle thing we got to find out.
Yeah, that's right.
So we'll
I want to see the rhinos at the zoo. I want to see if they where that sign is.
That's not there anymore.
Mating.
That's not there anymore.
That was the coolest sign.
No, that's gone. That's been gone for a long time.
I was dating this girl, and we went to the zoo, and we saw the rhinos, and they had this sign with two rhinos mating, and she looked at me, and she pointed at the sign, and she started to laugh. I love that sign. I wish I could have bought one.
Well, let's take a quick break. And we'll come back with some more Matt and Pat.
The Fools.
Okay, we're back.
So, oh, I saw a trailer for the Wolverine movie.
Yeah?
The new trailer looks really good.
Yeah.
And I love the character Wolverine from the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Because I collected Wolverine growing up. But the last two movies, I wasn't that impressed with.
Really?
The last two Wolverine movies they did. Actually, the last movie had Gambit in it. Mm-hmm. And he was like the Louisiana card...
Shark?
Card shark dude.
Now are you pronouncing Gambit correctly?
Yeah, probably not.
It's not Manchurian?
No. Mandarin? It probably is, right? But he was really awesome.
Yeah.
And he was the same guy who was John Carter.
Right.
But anyway, so I saw the new trailer, and I was really impressed. Yeah. So I'm thinking this will be an excellent movie. The Wolverine that I wanted to see.
This is going
to
be it.
Hopefully, yes. Yeah. And the Silver Samurai's in it. And the Silver Samurai is like, ah. Oh. So, all right, are we jumping into movies?
I guess so. Well, we both saw Star Trek last week.
Into Darkness.
And we have not
discussed... That's what we should call the show. Matt and Pat Show.
Matt and Pat Show, Into Darkness.
Into Darkness.
We haven't discussed anything about it.
No.
You and Mark wanted to talk about it driving Renfair. And I said, nope, you gotta keep it all for the show.
Yes.
So, now you... I think there's one thing...
I saw it Wednesday night.
You saw it Wednesday night. It was a double
feature. So they showed the first movie.
Yeah.
And then they showed Into Darkness.
The second one. But before we get into it, I think it's very important to note...
Oh, there may be spoilers.
Well, there may be spoilers.
Well, I'm just saying, like...
Oh,
like,
someone hasn't seen it yet.
If they haven't seen it, then you can turn us off...
That's right.
And never listen to us ever again. And you'll be much happier.
But no, the thing I wanted to point out is... You... have been a follower of the old series, the original series, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, just like you are with Star Wars about, you know, 1, 2, and 3 didn't exist.
They don't exist.
Then I think the same thing applies to you as far as Star Trek goes. Because in your eyes, your opinions of this movie are the same as 1, 2, and 3 in the Star Wars film to a certain extent. Probably not as bad as 1, 2,
well,
and 3.
Well,
but the point is for me...
Yes.
I've never followed the original series. I grew up watching Next Generation.
And see, Voyager. I was off at the seminary and off at school,
right.
So
right.
I didn't see those.
Right. And so that's
so
what I'm saying.
Missed
is,
those,
that's what I'm saying is I think
those episodes
I think our
shows.
I think our perceptions
our vantage points are different.
Our vantage points are completely different based on what we grew up with.
Oh, I totally believe that.
Because for me, I came out going, that was the most awesome
okay, well, okay,
movie
so,
ever.
So,
I liked everything
just,
about it.
Okay, so just to verify, you never saw the 1982 Wrath of Khan movie.
I have seen it, not when it came out. I saw it later in life.
Okay.
So I know about Ricardo Montalban,
right.
Ray Khan. I know about... I mean, I've watched the old series movies,
right,
but I'm saying
right.
I didn't grow up with them.
Right, correct.
I didn't go see them in the theater. So, I know, you know...
I saw that in the Manhattan Theater over by Fry's.
Right, okay, so...
With my buddy Steve.
Going back and watch them, I know that, okay, it's Spock that dies, goes into the chamber.
As opposed to
Kirk. It's, Captain Kirk that yells, "Khan!" Where in this one, it's Spock. But do you know why it's Spock that yells it and why it's Kirk that goes into that chamber in the new films?
Well, because remember they talked about the whole notion of will you die for your ship or for your crew or suffer?
No, it has nothing to do with that.
Because that's what Khan was.
Nope, has nothing to do with that. All that ties into the first film.
Okay.
The first film, there's a space-time continuum event.
Well, that's what allows for the whole change of history to take place.
That's exactly right.
Well,
and so I think the writing in this film is based on that.
Oh, of course. Of course it is.
Instead of rebooting the exact same film,
right? Of course,
they changed it up based on the time displacement of Spock,
right?
Like old Spock,
right? Exactly.
Right. So I understand.
Well, my point is the thing that I
The
thing that I didn't like is it was too soon. The death of Kirk was too soon. And as I watched it, I have to backtrack. I enjoyed the film.
Mm-hmm.
I did enjoy the film. I had a good time with it. Visually, it was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
The music was awesome. Visually, it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem I had was the events were too soon. And what I mean by this is, and I'm going to go back to Wrath of Khan. Wrath of Khan,
see, and that's right, you're comparing it.
Because for me, that worked really well because you had Spock and Kirk. Their friendship was so profoundly deep over the years of knowing one another and all the things that they've gone through. And so when you arrived at the point where Spock dies, it was believable and, dare I say, movable watching it because you really cared for these characters and you really felt, holy smokes, Spock is dying. Like, they're actually killing off Spock.
Mm-hmm.
And the reaction of, you know, how's Kirk going to take this?
Right.
Right? And so, watching it back then, it was really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And so, going into, well, okay, when I saw the original, or the, I should say, the new Star Trek, 2009?
Yeah.
I liked the premise, how they changed things, right, with the wormhole and all the events. I thought that was really clever, and I was down with it. In Into Darkness, that wasn't the issue for me. Like, they can go ahead and kind of alter things around, but the issue I had was it was too soon for Kirk to die because they
you have no time to become a part of the character.
Well, and I don't even think they're friends, but it seems like their friendship is still maturing and growing. It's not to the depth of what that original death scene was.
Right.
And so when I watched it, I just felt, okay, I see what they're doing here, but
it's too fast.
It's too soon.
Too soon. Now, here's another thing. Comparing it back to original Star Trek.
Yes.
You had, 3 years the series was on the TV?
It wasn't very long.
It was like 3 years. But you had three years already before that second film. Because
right.
Wrath of Khan was the second film, right?
Correct.
Okay, so you had 3 years of original Star Trek, then you had the first film, and then you had the second Khan film.
Correct.
So your timeline... It was a lot longer to establish a relationship with the character.
Correct.
And also, back then, we didn't live in the days of the trilogy. Really. I mean,
everything is a trilogy.
Everything's a trilogy. Batman is a trilogy, the reboot, right? Star Trek's going to be the trilogy.
You know, they've obviously rebooted James Bond several times.
Correct? Well, many times, but they haven't.
Different, actors playing Bond.
Right, right.
But, if I was the director, I would have said, listen, let's do the death of Kirk. Right, and let's have Khan. Let's put them in there. But I would have made it like maybe four films away.
But that's my point.
Right?
Is you can't do that in a trilogy. You're talking four films. Trilogy's only three.
Well,
how do you get it all into three films?
I would not do a trilogy. We're gonna have lots of films with these characters because they're so young.
But who's paying the bill? Not the director.
Because I won the Powerball. $650 million
Yeah, the studios are the ones that are saying you got to make a trilogy.
But then that whole argument of how often do the studios make horrible decisions about films
every
or
day.
Stories, right?
Every day.
You know, John Carter.
Every day. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. So a lot of it falls on that. And the other thing, too, is when you start out with the original series.
Yes.
You start out with, they're on the five-year voyage. Okay? Five-year voyage, that's the big, that's, you know, to go boldly go where no, quote-unquote, man has gone before. The original series.
Now,
you know, the first rebooted Star Trek film, you're not on the five-year voyage yet, because it's all about
Kirk. They haven't
even done it yet. It's all about Kirk coming up into, you know, finally, at the end of the first film, now he's captain. Second film, okay, he's captain. They throw in a little bit of old Kirk in there, the I'm not going to follow the Prime Directive. He gets his command taken away. He gets it back.
He's in bed with two aliens.
Right, because Pike gets killed by Khan. Okay, and
I did like Peter Weller. That was so cool.
I saw a good picture of him.
Peter Weller.
But anyways, going back.
I want Buckaroo Banzai.
Going back to it.
Movie.
At the end of Star Trek Into Darkness, now they're starting the five-year voyage.
Right.
So they have to get to that point somehow. And again, in the trilogy, I mean, it's got to be a little speed. They got to speed it up.
Well, okay.
Yeah, does it hurt the characters?
Well, here's the other thing.
Yes.
In terms of the actual film pacing, it was too fast for me.
Well, that's my point.
The film pacing was... there's no time to kind of sit back and just take in what's going on. Everything was like, go, 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 go.
It felt like I was running a five-man raid. It was like a big man nerd action fest. I loved it.
Okay, here's the other thing is... I didn't really like the actor portraying Khan. Did you see Skyfall?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to mispronounce his name. Javier... Bardem.
Yes, uh-huh, right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He was a great... I mean, I was thinking, like, wow, what if he was Khan?
Mm-hmm.
What if he played Khan?
Mm-hmm.
Because there seems to be a nuance to his style of villain.
Yeah, villain.
Which I thought really would have lent itself in an interesting way to play Khan.
Right. Well, and again, going back, it's like, you know...
I just need to be a director.
Sometimes, like...
I'll make a movie about fencing and mead and pirates.
You know, just like any other movie out there, it's like you can watch a movie and someone will say, hey, well, so-and-so was the original person to play this part, right? And for whatever reason, contract negotiations or schedule or whatever it's called.
Oh, it's like
an
Iron Man, right?
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
You had Howard.
Yes.
Yep. And he's like, for whatever reason, didn't work, and then they got the other dude.
Right. Right. So, you know, it could have been one of those things. The interesting thing was, you know, going into the film and not having any spoilers ahead of time, not by choice, I just wasn't paying attention to it, but I went into Star Trek Into Darkness not knowing who the villain was.
Oh, see, okay, I watched a trailer, and they never made it apparent that it was Khan.
Right.
But...
Yeah, I
watched this trailer, I'm like, that's Khan.
I had no idea until they really said it's Khan, and I'm like,
I don't know if it's because I'm maybe somewhat savvy with movie stuff.
Right, right.
I mean, just watching, I'm like, the very first trailer,
yes.
They showed, you know, the hands on the glass coming together, and I thought,
right.
Oh, wait a minute, they're going to do Khan, and then they're going to have one of the characters get radiated and die?
Right.
And then what happens?
Yeah.
Radiated, die, and there's Khan.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I liked it, but if I was a director, I would have, I would have done something a little bit different.
Well, let's...
But I'm not a director, so...
Let's take a quick break. And we'll come back with some more movie stuff. All right, we're back.
I'm hungry for popcorn now.
Popcorn!
Well, that was the thing when I went to go, you know, see both movies.
Mm-hmm.
Beforehand, I went with a couple buddies and we went to this restaurant called, what is it, Kabuki's?
Mm-hmm.
Sushi.
Yes.
I don't even like sushi, but I do like sake. and I had beer and beer, and I had tempura, which is, you know, like fried vegetables and shrimp.
Yes,
and
uh-huh.
I was, you know, very happy and well-fed.
You were happy.
And then I went to the movie, and I'm like, I'm going to need popcorn because it's going to be 4 hours of movies.
Right.
And yes. So I made sure to get the extra large bucket so I could have
extra popcorn.
Unlimited popcorn.
To throw.
And I told the lady, I'm going to be coming back.
Yeah.
And she laughed.
So out of 10, Star Trek Into Darkness, I'm going to say you're going to give it a 7.
Yeah, like 6.8. Yeah.
I give it a 9.5. Because
yeah.
I just like the action.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, yeah. Is it comes down to if you haven't watched the original series,
then
or the original movies,
you would be probably like, oh, that's really cool.
That's a really freaking awesome film, yeah. If you have a connection to the old series in any way, shape, or form that's any deep or emotional for you, then I think you're going to feel exactly
how you feel. You're going to have different colored glasses.
Yes, yes.
Well, it's just like, you know, just like, which Bond do you like?
Right.
I like Roger Moore.
Yes.
I like Sean Connery.
Right.
Timothy Dalton.
Right.
I like whoever.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, I think so.
It's all subjective.
I just went in and my wife loved it.
Now, did you see Iron Man?
I have not seen Iron Man
yet. Okay. Because very same thing is going on with Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Some people really like it. Some people really don't.
Right.
And I liked it. What was interesting was I read an article, and unfortunately I can't remember the gentleman that wrote the article, but he was talking about what he would have done.
Okay.
If he was the director or writer.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And
again, going back, the studio.
Same type of thing, right? He had a different approach to it. And while I liked the movie, I thought his approach actually would have been, dare I say, even better.
Well, and again, would the studios approve that, right?
That's the big... Yeah. Well, and they're having supposedly the contractual issues where they're not paying the actors enough money.
No,
right?
they need more millions.
So, well, that's just it. Like the dude who's in Thor...
They need dental.
...is they're paying him, like, what is it, $500,000, and if the movie makes X amount of money, they'll pay him another $500,000, so he makes $1 million.
Right.
But, you know, the movie's going to make a boatload of money.
Right.
And so he's like, listen, I got $5 million for Snow White and the Axemen.
Right.
And you guys are going to maybe pay me $1 million?
Right.
And so, supposedly, what I read is Robert Downey Jr. is playing hardball with Marvel, saying, listen, you guys need to pay, like, you're paying me a bunch of money. Great. But you also need to pay everybody else
excellent.
Money, too.
Well, that's good of him.
So.
That's good.
So we'll see,
that's
you
good.
Know, they're playing a game of
chicken.
Chess
or chicken.
Or, you know, mixing standoff or fencing or whatever, right? I want to go fence. That was so much fun. That was so fun.
So what film are you looking forward to, besides Wolverine? What films are you looking forward to seeing?
What else is coming out? Now my mind's a blank. there's The Hangover 3. I didn't see the second one. I saw the first one.
I saw, when we watched Into Darkness, they did a quick, it wasn't a trailer, it was just a quick piece. About Anchorman 2.
Oh, you were talking about... You know, I never saw the original Anchorman.
It was hysterical. They had the four guys come out, and they're all supposed to say something, you know, good about the film coming up. And then you get to Steve Carell, and he's like, right? Like that? Typical Steve Carell. And then they're like, now you gotta... You know, Will Ferrell's character, you know, Ron Burgundy says, you know, you gotta say something, you know, nice about the film, or say something, you know, about it, right? And or some sort of advice. And he says, don't hug children unless their parents say it's okay. Or something
really?
Like that. Or this. And then Ron Burgundy's like, hey, fuckface, I'm looking at you. Or something like that, right?
Wow.
It was hysterical, man.
Wow.
I was dying laughing. I was like, okay. I'm like, Anchorman 2 is going to be awesome. So, you haven't seen the first one?
No, I never did.
Okay, we'll have to watch it one day. Mark's listening right now to the show. And he's like, you know, Mark loves Ron Burgundy. So we're going to have to maybe go over and watch it at his house
or
something.
Well, I know my nephews like it. And they live in San Diego, so that's probably why they really like it.
Yeah. We'll have to watch it one time.
What other movies are coming? There's a bunch of movies and then my mind's a blank because I'm thinking of corsets.
You're thinking about
I'm thinking of Renfair.
Renfair corsets.
Banana Girl.
Banana Girl.
And
yes.
I
we have names for all these.
I didn't hear Banana
lovely women.
Girl. because she was calling to us and I just didn't.
Yeah, hear it. Mark has
I'm
to.
Sorry,
fill
banana
in.
Girl. It could have been.
But
it should have been.
But the girl who was doing the awesome elf chick.
Did you see her?
Well, I saw her on Sunday.
Okay.
And then she contacted us.
She did.
Because we gave her a card because Mark was taking pictures of
Correct.
Her. Mark ran out of cards. So she contacted us, and Mark, I guess, got directly, connected with her.
Very cool.
He did some awesome touch-ups on her stuff. It was really, really cool. So he's got a new photography website set up.
Oh, I sent him an email.
So you can go to, it's markvfx.com, and that's his new website for his photo stuff.
Oh, Memorial Day. We got to talk Memorial Day.
Yes.
Mark is doing the
Course of the Force. Course of the Force, yep. That's the run of the lightsaber from Santa Monica to San Diego from Comic-Con.
So do we, on our webpage, do we have a link?
Yes, of course. To everybody.
Okay.
Yeah, we
Go
got a link
click
on
that
there.
Link.
Go click the link and click chat.
And
I
need to give some money to Mark for that because I got my Apple dividend.
There you go.
Although it's all basically gone because I paid bills.
That's how it works.
And also for Shad's organization, National Veterans Foundation, which is NationalVeterinsFoundation.org or NVF.org.
Go support
Memorial
the vets.
Day. Yeah, because, I mean, come on.
Support Mark and support the vets, please.
And have some mead.
That was good stuff. I like that. I'm going to have to go to, like, BevMo and see if they have, like, mead there or something.
They probably do.
There's one right near the kids' school, and it's the store is nothing but, it's all liquor. So it's a huge, ginormous store, nothing but liquor. So I'll
really?
I'll have to go in there and see if they got some meat or something
we gotta
like that.
We
got to
do life lessons.
This week we can do it.
Okay, where did I leave off?
We did 20? I don't know, I keep getting it wrong.
I guess it was 20.
It was 20, so it's 21 to 25.
All right, so let's see. Okay, well, 20 was, when it comes to going after what you love in life, don't take no for an answer.
Yes, that we laughed because that was the Kaler thing.
All right, so 21.
21. Oh, so we're doing life lessons. Okay.
Yeah. Here we go.
Life lessons.
Burn the candles. Use the nice sheets. Wear the fancy lingerie and corsets. I'm adding corsets.
Okay.
But it says wear the fancy. Now, and you have to remember this person, this lady.
Wait.
That wrote this is 90-year-old Regina Brett is her name. She's 90 years old. So
and
she's talking about lingerie.
Yeah, you know, I'm
wear the fancy lingerie.
I'm going to stop listening myself.
Hey, she knows what she's talking about.
I don't
save it for special occasions. Today is special.
That's 21.
That's 21.
What was it again? I wasn't paying attention. I'm sorry. I've got a visual of a 90-something-year-old woman in her lingerie in my head.
Use the nice sheets.
Thank you, Pat.
Because you can always wash
the
sheets afterwards.
No, the next one. Wash the sheets afterwards.
Right? You know what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, number 22.
Wait, 21.
That was 21.
Burn the sheets.
Today is special.
Oh, today? Okay, dude, that's what I'm saying.
Burn the underwear.
Again.
Burn my underwear.
Burn the underwear.
After garlic
21.
Chili.
Do 21 again.
That was 20.
Do 21 again.
To burn the candles. Use nice sheets. Wear fancy lingerie.
Oh, that's what I'm sorry. 22.
Corsets.
22. Do 22.
Don't save it for a special occasion. Today is special. That's 21.
Oh, I'm saying don't save. So, okay. Oh, it was a big thing. Okay.
It was. That's
okay.
That it was.
Okay.
It is a big thing. Number 22.
22.
Over prepare, then go with the flow.
Okay.
As you wear your corset.
Okay.
Number 23. Be eccentric now. Don't wait for old age to wear purple.
Yeah, I do that. I'm just like a pirate soon.
There you go.
And you're going to put your earring back in.
I'm going to put my earring back in. Although I take it out when I go to mass.
Well, yes.
Because, yeah, whatever. I got yelled at once for wearing it. Not by the priest, but by one of the parishioners.
Nice.
They got mad because they're wearing my earring.
Nice.
I was like, well, you have a nice earring. Why can't I wear my earring?
Right.
Anyway. Here we go. Number 24. The most important sex organ is the brain.
Okay.
Our 90-year-old says that.
There you
go. Wow, she's hot to trot, dude. She's all lingerie and
Brains.
Mm.
Wow.
Sex,
okay.
Sex organ.
There's life lessons.
I play the organ.
Well, let's
25.
Oh, we got one more. I'm cutting us off already. sorry, lingerie.
Off the organ. You're cutting
lingerie
off the organ. You're cutting off the blood flow.
Blood
flow.
I'm done with this show.
And I'm not. I'm still going. Number 25.
Wait, where's my paper?
No one. Yep. I have plenty of stuff on the bed. Just throw up my bed. Number 25.
I'm done.
No one is in charge of your happiness but you.
And my wife.
I like that one. Well, she is in charge of your happiness.
This is the pad.
Just throw it down.
This is Kevin's notepad.
Now we have 23 hours and 34 minutes remaining.
It's going to be a while.
It's going to be 23 hours and 34 minutes.
Well, let's take a quick break. We'll be back with whatever the hell we're going to talk about at the end.
Oh, lemon drops.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Lemon drops.
All right, close out the show, Pat.
I close it officially with my mug of
non-existent tea.
Of no more tea. Tea. It's just air, so I close it out.
I didn't get the juice for you this week.
You hear it?
Yes.
It's clinking. It's
and my
all
can.
Over.
Yes. See? And I'm out of my can.
I'm just gonna think. Of course, it's now.
Well, I'm gonna leave then.
Of course. And the most important organ is the brain.
There's a few people here for
terms of love.
Listening, telling you get a room.
Love. I have a room. You're in my room.
I'm getting
this
out of here.
The best place to be.
Ah, I gotta run away.
Best place. You can stay in my room.
Cool. It's gonna. You're gonna have a mountain.
Good.
Volcano eruption in here.
I have my tissue box over by the bed. It is right over there. I'm not even. It's true.
That's it. I'm done. This week, I'm done. I'm done.
All right. Well, have a good Friday.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yes. Thank you for your patience.
Have a good Friday.
And have a wonderful Friday.
Friday and
a
wonderful weekend.
And if you're a girl, wear a corset. And if you're a guy,
don't wear a corset. Unless you want to.
If you're a guy,
unless you want to. If you want to, feel free.
You can.
Your life is your own.
Go. Eat some beef jerky.
See, that's how I know you can't. You don't know what the hell you're talking about because you.
What beef jerky's good?
No, I'm saying that you don't know where your train of thought is going
because I'm thinking of corsets.
Because you have pauses in between your words.
Because I'm thinking of like
and
nice.
Why don't you
huge
go
tracks of lands? You know there is some really huge tracks of land at that Ren Faire. I was just holy smokes! Look at that track of land.
All right, we're done.
Banana girl, I love you.